the age of just winning points that you don't know what to do with is over. There's hundreds of millions of dollars, maybe billions of dollars going through Dave and Buster's and Topgolf and, you know, Buffalo Wild Wings every year, but it's all being done offline.
What is the like tangible TAM, like when you're talking to investors?
It's on competitive social and like hospitality, there's a $1 billion business. Just within mobile games, there's probably a multi-billion-dollar business. Just within recreational sports, we think that there's a multi-billion-dollar opportunity.
Did some of the pots get extraordinarily large?
We've gotten up to the tens of thousands of dollar pots,
right?
But we're debating, like, should we do a $1 million challenge?
In your 4 or 5 years forward from now, where do you want Lucra to be? Where do you think it will be?
At that point, we'd like to be a multi-billion-dollar publicly traded company. We think we are changing the game, disrupting what loyalty is. What's been really cool to see is most of these partners will put on the table buy one, get one free wings or 10%, and people don't redeem them. Like, it's just human psychology is like, ah, that's some coupon, they're trying to get me.
Right.
But if you win it, it changes everything. We want to become ubiquitous with friendly competition.
From ARK Invest, this is FYI, the For Your Innovation podcast. I'm Brett Winton. With us today, we have Dylan Robbins, founder of Lucra Sports. Okay, Dylan, welcome to the pod. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Okay, tell us about Lucra. What is Lucra? I've never heard, or until we invested in Lucra, I had never heard of Lucra. Where are you? Why are you here? And actually, some people probably have used your product without even realizing it.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's not the worst thing that you haven't heard of Lucra, because part of our game plan is to be behind the scenes for our partners. But we're coming a little bit out of the woodworks now, sharing more about our story. Lucra's white label gamification. So what we do is we power loyalty and games for brands. Basically, all the offline fun you have in your life, cornhole, darts, ping pong, pickleball, golf on the weekends, board games, video games. If it's fun and you're playing for something and it's happening offline, we want to digitize that. So a lot of that that fun is happening, it's transactional, it's happening on Venmo, or it's happening for, hey, I'll buy you a burger, and we just go to the bar and buy it. And brands aren't capitalizing on that. They're not getting your data, they're not monetizing it, and you're not having like a really a seamless experience. And so Lucra's job is to try and bridge the gap between those two things. And we partner with brands across, you know, fitness, hospitality, competitive entertainment, mobile gaming, recreational sports.
Throw me a tangible example. Give me one tangible example.
Yeah, so I'm a mini golf guy. Like, I love mini golf. I was always, you know, grew up, I got two brothers, and my dad and my mom, all, you know, big mini golf fans, and we'd go on Saturday and we'd go to our local mini golf and we'd get out the pen and the paper and we'd play for dessert, or we'd play for $5 at the end of the night. Yeah. And we partner with Puttjack, who's a fantastic mini golf provider all across the country and in the UK. And they've got this awesome digital mini golf. It's got the lights and the glitz and the glamour, and it automatically scores. So every time you hit a shot, it's updating on your phone and on the leaderboards, you know, what your score is. So you can walk into Puttjack and, you know, I could say, hey, you know, Brett, let's play for a burger. Instead of us, you know, going to the bar afterwards, all done through their website. So you can look at their menu, see what you want to play for. You can go and you can challenge your friend, or you can play as a group. You go and you actually play mini golf. You're off your phone. You're having fun. And you go to the end, there's a QR code right there. Go up to the bar and you can win your prize. So you can play for cash, you know, for burgers, for beers, for merchandise, for discounts, for rewards. Like, one of our main theses is that the age of just winning points that you don't know what to do with is over. Like, I did fly United today. I do love my United points. Other than that, maybe we're really focused on winning the immediate gratification, like the dopamine hit of, okay, I won something. I want to go use that. I want to go spend this. I want to have that experience. So we're trying to really hit on those trends in the market.
See, so you have, I mean, you have a number of partnerships now, but surely this is not like the original vision you had when you started. When did Lucra start? Tell us like how the vision has evolved and where you're at now.
I think it's a great entrepreneurial story of how, you know, where you get to, you know, now 5 years later is nothing like where we started. I think it's been a really interesting adaptation of a really similar hypothesis, but a different strategy. So Lucra started back in 2021 when I was at Stanford Business School. I went to get my MBA with the goal of starting a company. I'd started one company prior and I had gotten the entrepreneurial bug. And I knew I wanted to do something kind of sports or sports related. I'm a huge sports fan. I love the New York Knicks. I went to Duke, love Duke basketball. And I wanted to do something around sports. And this was just at the tailwind of DraftKings and FanDuel really starting to pick up. Like every billboard around, you know, you saw it. And it just, you know, PASPA got repealed in 2019. And there was just going to be a huge opportunity around kind of the betting ecosystem. So we launched Lucra as a friendly way to bet with your friends. So the first iteration of Lucra was kind of more of a peer-to-peer sports betting. You versus me, $5, who's going to have more points, LeBron or Durant? And it was a simple thing amongst friends. And it was super fun, and we got hundreds of thousands of players, but it didn't have the same unit economic model as a sports book. We weren't doing parlays, we didn't have high margins, and we were spending a lot on customer acquisition and retention. But we had this kind of nugget of, okay, what is this kind of friendly interaction between the two of us? And more casual fans were interested in that than maybe playing against a big sports book. The next iteration came, we surveyed 3,000 customers, and I always push my friends that are founders, like, ask your customers everything because they know best. And the overwhelming feedback on what they wanted was, hey, we're challenging each other on other things, not just sports.
Right.
We're going to the bar, we're playing board games, we're playing video games, you know, we're going to, you know, Dave and Buster's, right? We're doing these things. What about having something like that on Lucra? So we said, okay, that's interesting. Let's add what we called recreational games. You know, if you can play it, you can do it on Lucra. And what that opened us up to was the hundreds of thousands of brands here in the US that felt like they were missing the tailwind of betting. You know, when you go to Topgolf, all you do there is challenge people for $5 or a burger or $20. There's hundreds of millions of dollars, maybe billions of dollars going through Dave and Buster's and Topgolf and, you know, Buffalo Wild Wings every year, but it's all being done offline. So we kind of evolved our business model, the same thesis, you know, playing with your friends, but towards really partnering with brands where competition already existed. So where is competition? Let's embed Lucra and digitize that. And so about two years ago, we evolved the model to be B2B. So really, you know, traditional enterprise software, we now sell to brands, you know, big and small, and we act as their full stop loyalty solution. So we'll do all of the leaderboards, all of the challenges, all the payments, all the banking, all of the legal and compliance, and all the fun for our customers. So it's been an interesting evolution. You know, day one, the plan was to, you know, digitize competition with friends, but it evolved into how we're doing that, into kind of the model where we are today.
Well, it's still competition with friends, but competition with friends within the context of the enterprise that's actually going to pay for that competition solution so that you can actually make money on it.
It's a really unique market for us to be in, because most of the time it's actually a win-win where they're paying us enough where we're psyched to work hard, but it's a drop in the bucket for the value that we can add. Like, when I go and talk to these brands, I say, what are your biggest problems? And they all say the same three things. They say, there's a lot you can do on a Saturday, so it's hard to convince people to come in that extra visit.
Yeah.
Think about all the cool things you can do now on a Saturday, all the technology that's been built. Two is visit times have gone down. The average dwell time is lower, so same store sales is decreasing. And three is we want to get our customers spending more money per visit. And so Lucra's three main value props are those three things. One is Lucra customers visit on average twice as much per year as non-Lucra customers, because you're playing in a tournament, you're playing in a challenge, we can market to get you in. Two is our customers spend about 40 to 50% more time on site, because it's hard to leave the bar when you're in the middle of a game with your
right.
buddies. And three, our customers spent 20% more per visit. So like our value prop is really not around expansion. It's not helping you open new stores. It's helping make your existing locations or your existing experiences better.
So you mentioned tournament. So it's not just me versus you. It's also me versus the world, or how does that work?
Yeah. So we started peer-to-peer, just me versus you. And we realized, well, that was great because I could get two people every time.
Right.
Why couldn't we get 100 people every time?
Right.
And then we also realized if we did it peer-to-peer, it's mostly people in the same location. Well, what if I was at, you know, Five Iron Boston and you were in Five Iron New York and we wanted to hit closest to the pin at Pebble Beach, number 7?
Right.
We can. But peer-to-peer didn't really open that up. So we launched probably about a year ago our tournaments mode, which allows you to both do in-location or asynchronous tournament play, where go to one of our partners, you can put a dollar in the pot, you're playing against people you don't know, and there's trust in the system because we're doing all the scoring. I can play on Saturday, you can play on Sunday, and you can see in real time on your phone the leaderboard and how you're doing. And what's been really cool about that is it enables what we call play again. So let's say you go to Five Iron and we play 9 holes, and you shoot, you know, 38, and you're in third place, you're in the money, you leave. Then 2 days later you get a notification, hey, you've actually dropped in 9th place, a couple guys beat you, you want to come back? And you can come back in and play again and put
$2
more dollars.
Wait, and so at the end, in the money, like, I'm actually getting money into the app at the end of it? How does it work?
Yeah, so you deposit all the funds through our SDK, through Lucra. So we have, you know, a great partnership with a payment processor. You can do Apple Pay, debit card, credit card, PayPal, Venmo, et cetera.
Right.
You put the money in. Then you join the tournament you want to join, so $2 or $5, whatever it is. Generally, our average tournament size is about $10. We're not doing $50,000 massive prize pools.
Right.
This is for casual fund fans.
Right.
You put your $10 in the pot. You put yours in, I put mine in, my wife put hers in. That was $30 in the pot. We hold it. You go have fun, we hold it in the system. We get the score from our partner and we pay out the winner. So it's all seamless. And you don't have to, like, click a button to settle up at the end. It's all, you know, one interactive experience.
Do some of the pots get extraordinarily large? Or are we talking, like, what's should I get very good at golf so I can go putt-putt golf? Like, so I can go.
We're kind of in the debate mode on that. I mean, we've gotten up to the tens of thousands of dollar pots.
Right.
But we're debating, like, should we do a $1 million challenge, right? And do a really cool marketing campaign around that. And I think at that point you start to get pros come out to like play, and like it kind of gets a little bit away from our goal of like play for fun, play for $5. Like,
right.
You know, if I think about what I love most about Lucre is that it should be for everyone. Sure. And the more that we get to really big prize money, the more we start to almost create like mini Lucre leagues where people like become pros to play.
Right.
My favorite feature that we have is actually on the other side, which is a lot of our partners have our, what we call our rewards portal, where just for entering a tournament, you get 10% off a flatbread.
Right.
Just for playing.
Right.
And so those feet, you could hit the worst shot you've ever hit and go buy a flatbread 10% less. And
yeah.
like, what's been really cool to see is most of these partners will put on the table, buy one, get one free wings or 10%, and people don't redeem them. Like, it's just human psychology is like, that's some coupon, they're trying to get me.
Right.
But if you win it, it changes everything. Like, if you win the code,
right.
you're like, oh, I want it, it expires in an hour, I gotta go redeem. And right. so it's a really interesting thing that we can play into kind of following sports betting and like showing like that kind of immediate gratification. We've been able to kind of make that more casual and reduce the barriers to entry for that.
Huh. I mean, it is, you could control, like if you think about the slope of the prize pot payout,
yeah.
right? Like you could actually smooth it out. So there's not like some $10,000 reward for somebody at the end,
yeah.
but you just like layer more people into the money.
It wasn't my idea. I'll give, you know, credit to somebody else. One of our partners, they came up with the 50-50 tournament. So
yeah.
they said, your point, I want as many winners as possible.
Right.
Let's have the entry fee be 10 and the top half win 20.
Right.
And that was great because it's like, okay, cool. Like more people are winning and
right.
it's less the like DraftKings put a dollar to win a million, but you're like, I really got a good shot if I played decent. So I think that's a cool, we got all these different formats. We have a portal where you can go in as our partner, pick which format you want. It all happens in real time. But I think we're still learning about which one of those makes the most sense for on a partner by partner basis.
Right.
We'd also like to use AI there. Like ideally you can come in and say, okay, I own 7 mini golf, you know, places in, you know, this area of the country, here's my demo, you know, here's my budget. And our like smart AI hub should be able to tell you, here's what tournaments you should run at
right.
what times
right.
for what prizes. So like that's what's coming, is like the personalization of all the data. We have so much interesting data. We're just starting to figure out what to do with it.
Yeah, it is interesting. I mean, for one, it means that like the more partners you sell into, kind of there's some shared learnings you can carry across there, where like this kind of tournament structure really works versus this one doesn't
yeah.
work as well, depending upon average size of ticket, et cetera. And also, you know, these companies probably otherwise don't have that much data on their customers other than, hey, this is a random person that walked
yeah.
in the door, and I don't know what the information they get off their credit card processor, but it's not that much, I'm sure.
Yeah, so. It's really been eye-opening just how limited the data sets are today and how it's the most exciting thing about what we offer. Like, you know,
right.
it's just, that's like the end result that we weren't expecting. And the personalization opportunities, the marketing retargeting opportunities, the monetization opportunities from the data is really cool. And eventually, right now, we have a reporting portal. Right now, you get Lucre's information. We send you all your customer information, who they're playing and when and why and how. Eventually, we want you to be able to talk to that portal, right? We're building in some functionality now where you should ask it questions that should help you kind of design your marketing campaigns. Eventually, it should design the marketing campaigns for you, right?
Right.
And so I think we're just, again, scratching the surface of what we can do there, and we're currently in like data accumulation mode and just trying to learn as much as we can from what we're seeing.
Hmm. Yeah. So you mentioned like dwell time is going down, which is kind of an interesting statistic to hear. Do you have like a theory, or do they have a theory for why that's happening? And then how do
yeah.
you solve it?
Like, I think the answer is because of all the competition for what you can do on that day. You know, you're going with three buddies in a Saturday afternoon, and you have
right.
like in the city, in Nashville, where we have a lot of partners. Amazing place, so much to do. There's like 40 competitive entertainment things. Anything you could think of, you could do it in Nashville.
Yeah.
Because it's so competitive, the venues have started to create shorter experiences to try and get you to come to multiple places in a day. So instead of it being like, come and spend 3.5 hours with us, you know, come and do the 60 minute or play mini golf in 14 minutes and like have a beer. So they've created shorter experiences, almost self-cannibalizing the dwell time just because it's so competitive. And so I think having gone to these places over the years, I've seen the experiences become a little bit quicker, a little bit shorter on purpose, I think, instead of really investing in the things that can keep people there longer.
Huh, it's like I think of, you know, I go to like arcades with
yeah.
my kids
yeah.
for as part of like laser tag or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
And I feel like arcade games are much worse now because they're designed around like this, you know, almost like, I don't know, 60-second experience.
Totally.
And there's no, I remember back in my day, back when I was a youngster, you know, we'd go to the arcade and you would spend, like you would invest significant resources to play
game.
A game for a really long time,
right?
Right?
You know? Yeah, I think that's definitely changed. One thing we're dabbling in now, which I'm excited to talk about, is the concept of mini games on your phone. Where, you know, Lucre's always been bringing the physical digital, yeah. right? We've been in real life experiences. How do we bring it online? We're now thinking, well, how do we use the digital as a beachhead to get people, you know, into these locations? And so, you know, imagine we're talking about Puttshack. You play mini golf with us. You enter a tournament, you win or you lose. 3 days later, you get a push notification on your phone. Hey, try our new mini golf mini game on your yeah. phone where you can make 3 hole-in-ones, bounce back offer, 50% off your next visit. And we've been talking with a lot of game developers about that, and the same trend is happening. Whether when I was a kid, I would get that game on my Game Boy or my PS5, and I would play quest mode and beat all the levels.
Right.
They're like 90-second sprints, like quick games, play again, quick games, play again. The attention span has gone down, but people are playing more games than ever. They're just right. rotating. Like the retention curves are very like this. You know, it's like, okay, 10 days, they're going to be on the next game. They're going to master that.
Right.
So it's interesting that I think that parallels in both the physical and digital experiences.
Yeah. How do you balance kind of tactics? Like you had to move kind of tactically to meet the B2B opportunity, and it's clearly like the productive direction to push against strategy and really trying to guide to, hey, this is the ultimate goal for the business. And what is the ultimate goal for the business? Like, what are you doing here?
Yeah, let's start with that one. We want to become ubiquitous with friendly competition. My goal is that in a month-long period, to your point, as you mentioned at the beginning, you may not even know you've seen Lucra. I want that to be kind of pervasive throughout your life. You yeah. go to the gym, you go to a class, you go to SoulCycle or Peloton, maybe we're in there. You're playing Wordle with your friends on the New York Times app, maybe we're in there. Then you go to Puttshack for a birthday party, maybe we're in there. You go on a bachelor party, you go to the bar and you're playing darts and we're hooked into that system. Like ideally we just come ubiquitous and the Lucra kind of wallet and rewards infrastructure becomes something that people get very familiar with and get comfortable with. And so that's, I think, where we're trying to go. To your point, it's been a big strategic shift to say, okay, well, what's the fastest way to get there and the most capital efficient way to get there? You know, as our investors, I mean, obviously we talk a lot about around, the capital investment to grow that business D2C in this market with all that's going on and the really cool stuff in predictions and sports betting is almost insurmountable right. versus if we can almost Trojan horse our way in there with these amazing B2B partners who have massive marketing budgets and huge brands that they've spent a fortune to build. And we can just, we can power that. That seems like the right strategic way for us to go. And it's a much healthier unit economic model for our business. It allows us to stay leaner, hire less people, invest less money in marketing. But it's, a constant, thing we're thinking
about. I mean, I guess the downside too, it's like you would prefer to build like a one app for all. Mm-hmm. If you're working with B2B partners, you do have to do some level of customization and there's always like integrations you have to do. How do you think, like, to what degree can you basically provide the package solution you have to the, the next partner
yeah.
versus having to like build into their system?
It's a really good question. I'll first just address one other thing you mentioned that I think is really interesting is we'd love to have a shared wallet, but we get specific no's from our partner on that. Like
yeah.
if you go to one location and you put $100 in and they spent the marketing dollars to get you there, the last thing they want
right,
you to
yeah.
do is take that money and go spend it with one of their
right.
competitors or even just anywhere else.
Right.
So we particularly on purpose ring fence it. What I'm working on is over time, I want to convince the partners with the data that we have, it's actually worth it, net positive,
right.
to let that be shared. Because
right.
we can drive people in based off what they want at that time. The money will go out, but it'll come back. So I think that's where we would like to get to. On the implementation side, it's definitely one of our biggest challenges. I think we face the classic software company enterprise barrier of we want to do it all for everybody. And for the right cost and time and money, sometimes it makes sense. But to really scale, you have to build things out of the box. Like eventually, you should be able to download a line of code from our website and just plug in Lucra. But we're pretty far away from that. Right now,
right.
we're working with an implementation teams, 2 or 3 months, 2 or 3 weeks, depending on the partner. So we're trying to build towards that and trying to hire the right people and invest in the right resources and use AI, which is really helpful now to expedite those things. So definitely a challenge.
I think CEO and CIO and CFO is trying to figure out the best, most efficient way to drive AI throughout their organization to basically be more productive and drive efficiencies. Like, what's your approach? Like, how are you all approaching it?
Yeah.
How has it changed even over the last 6 months?
Yeah, I mean, it's changing like every month now to such a hyper level.
Yeah.
I would say like, 6 to 9 months ago, we were thinking about it. 3 to 6 months ago, we were starting to implement it. Now it's like a topic of every conversation. I think a big win for us is we identified early on, we are not an AI native company.
Sure.
Let's not try to be one, right? Let's partner with the best and the brightest there and learn and hire some good people. But I think it's like we're almost in a lot of ways, kind of the anti-AI. We're the flood back to community. We're the flood back to interaction.
Right.
But how do we use AI in our business? So obviously we're doing all the things around, you know, we have the enterprise Claude, you know, package. We're using it in our, you know, Claude and Cowork and using it in our code. But more importantly, we're trying to figure out, okay, what are the things that we can do that enable our partners to use our technology faster? Things like our portal, making it more approachable and, you know, AI driven. Our reporting and our marketing. Customization. When you go to Puttshack and when I go to Puttshack, we should see different things, right?
Right.
You have different preferences. We live in different places, et cetera. So I think we want to kind of enable those things without losing our core, which is really in-person interaction. So we're investing and we're learning, but we're trying to not. I think there's a lot of risk in going too far over with when things are changing so quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to stay certainly agile to some degree, and also recognizing, as you said, it's kind of like the core value proposition. Sticking a chat interface in front of every single everything is not going to be the solution that people are actually looking for.
Right.
How do you think about the, in some ways it's like, hey, this is interesting, but it seems like how many of these businesses can there possibly be that are out there that are interesting?
Yeah.
How do you think about that?
Great question. Some questions we got from investors during our fundraise, so we're familiar with this one. I think it depends on our price point. So right now, where I think in the upper end of the market, there's probably thousands of companies that, you know, can pay a couple hundred grand a year that really need a loyalty program, right? Whether it's kind of competitive entertainment or within, you know, fitness companies or mobile game companies or, you know, bigger recreational sports providers. But these are folks that don't have one location. They have 5, 6, 10, 20, 30, 50, 200. As we're able to make our product more efficient and make it more out of the box, we want to bring our price point down, right? If we can start charging 25 to 50 grand a year instead of 200, it 10x's the market size. I was at the PGA show in Orlando in January, and I probably spoke to 100 golf course operators who were like, I love this. People love to compete on golf. 80% of people who play golf do it.
Right.
But they're like, I don't have a tech guy. I got a pro shop, but people want this. Every time I go to the first tee, I'm hearing it. Like, how do we do this? And it's like, well, okay, not today, but one day, right? And I'm like, how much can you pay? They're like, a couple grand a month, right? So if we can get the efficiency for the implementation and the tech easiness there, I think we can even further expand our TAM. And what's cool about the broader TAM is it's literally anywhere you can compete. Like everyone that I talk to, I'm like, what's your thing, right? And we probably have a fit there. Some people say, I'm great at ping pong. I'm like, great, we can partner with, you know, Spin, the ping pong company. Some people say board games, which is exploding now on mobile and digital board game spaces. So there's always something for somebody. And the harder part is trying to figure out how to keep the product, you know, to your point, not so differentiated across all those different things. So we get ourselves in trouble that way.
Right, right. And then what is the like tangible TAM? Like when you're talking to investors, how much is out there
for you? Kind of look at six sectors, which I've named a few of them. And when you kind of look at the market spaces there, we're looking at about $25 billion TAM.
Got it.
It's probably bigger than that as we add new, you know, sectors each kind of calendar quarter. But that's the TAM that we're targeting now. We think there's $1 billion business in each of the six sectors we're working in. If we just focused on competitive social and like hospitality, there's $1 billion business. Just within mobile games, there's probably a multi-billion-dollar business. Just within recreational sports, we think that there's a multi-billion-dollar opportunity. So our big challenge, especially with my, you can tell I'm a New York talk fast, walk fast. You know, I'm trying to move, I move fast and try not to move us too fast in too many different directions. Like that's one of my biggest vulnerabilities that I've realized is you can definitely do too much.
Right.
And so trying to look at that big opportunity, acknowledge it, test things there, but try to stay in our lanes that we're seeing already proven success.
Yeah. And I think that there's certainly truth to the idea that, you know, as particularly in digital interfaces, human attention becomes more scarce. Mm-hmm. Kind of like people just seek out more in-person spaces or they'll pay more for that in-person experience.
Totally. Do you know what I mean? It's you know, you may pay $199 for a mobile game, but the, you know, $100 an hour for a golf simulator.
Right. Because
it's like, hey, it's crappy weather in New York. I haven't been outside in 2 days. I'll go pay $100 an hour for 2 hours and like New York City prices for a beer.
Right.
Just to just be with my buddies for 2 hours.
Right.
You know, like me and my friend, I live in New York City. We look forward to those. Like every other week we'll go to the sim in the winter, just hit balls for 2 hours and like talk shop. And like, that's like a big win.
Right.
Because it's just, you know, it's worth that money because it's you're both getting the community interaction, but also getting to take some golf swings, which in New York City we don't get to do in January very often.
Right. So if you fast forward, I give you a time machine, you're 4 or 5 years forward from now, where do you want Lucra to be? Where do you think it will be?
Yeah, I mean, I think at that point we'd like to be a multi-billion-dollar publicly traded company. I think the goal is that we think we are changing the game, disrupting what loyalty is. There has been a tremendous amount of fantastic companies and wealth generated in the loyalty space to date, and we think we're the new and exciting thing there, and we can really change that game. So that's the goal, is we just, you know, continue to grow. We've grown, you know, 1,000% 2 years ago, you know, over 300% last year. We want to continue to kind of grow on this kind of rapid pace. But it's, look, it's a daunting task. I mean, there's a lot changing, and you're making decisions while you're moving the car at the same time. So we're iterating quickly, and it all comes down to just being, you know, great client partners. Like, that's our main, what will make us successful is the case studies. We just have to continue to invest the time and energy right. in our partners. How we sell the next deal is they call the last deal. Yeah. Right. So that's what we're really focused.
And that was a big unlock for you, is like Dave & Buster's was an initial partner yep. and you've delivered them great results. You said like longer time in store, basically better sales yep. and better return rate, right? Yep. Like, and those three metrics then kind of sell your next.
Yeah, and it's a use case that people understand. I think right. that's really cool, because like everyone's been to an arcade and everyone knows that if you're like really into that game and you're playing your buddy for $5 or a burger, you're right, maybe going to stay there a little bit longer or spend a little bit more money. So that's been a great kind of catapult. It was definitely what catapulted our business into the next tier and the next phase. And super thankful they took a bet on us. And you know, since then we've been able to sign, you know, we have over, you know, 45 partners today and growing. Our goal is to get close to 100 by the end of the year. So it's it's an exciting challenge ahead of us.
Great. Well, so speaking of, I had you travel back or forward in time for Lucra. I don't know if this episode is going to show before this prediction comes true or not, but how far is Duke going to make it in the NCAA tournament?
I am an avid, loyal Duke fan to the core. I pick them to win my bracket every single year.
Yeah.
I think this is the best team we've had. Like, if you look at all the KenPom stats, like, ever. And we had a scare in that first round against Siena.
Yes.
But I think we're going to go all the way. The key stat that I've been getting on my whole Instagram feed is flooded with Duke posts is we beat St. John's in every year we've ever won the tournament. So the five we've won, we beat St. John's. So if we beat St. John's in the next yes. couple of days.
And as of this recording, the St. John's game is what? A few days from now.
It's on Friday. Yes. So if we beat yeah. St. John's on Friday,
yes.
we'll see you in the national championship.
Okay. I'll put all my money on
there
it.
There you go.
All right. Well, thank you, Dylan. Thanks for coming into the pod.
Thank you for having me. It was a blast.
All right. Cheers.